Hello, and thank you for tuning in to this week's history episode of Bite Size Cybercrime. My name is Chloe Tonis, and today we will be discussing the cloud. The cloud is becoming huge, but what exactly is the cloud? Well, it's essentially outsourcing resources to an external provider, but it allows you to pay for only what you need and rapidly scale up or down as necessary, something that is not practical when buying your own expensive hardware. You're probably familiar with the cloud in some way. Google Drive, for example, provides storage in the cloud. Your data on Google Drive is stored in their servers, not on your own PC unless you have a local backup. And you can buy more storage from Google as needed, or downgrade as needed in a self-service manner if you decide you don't really need that much storage in the cloud. Cloud computing provides a lot of flexibility, reduces the needs for physical space to keep hardware, and can be used in a self-service way. However, these conveniences also come with vulnerabilities. See, when you decide to purchase a plan that involves the cloud, you don't get your own dedicated computer unless you have a private cloud. But most clouds are not private clouds. Rather, you basically share a giant computer with everyone else who is a customer of that cloud service provider. Google Drive, for example, stores your data and the data of hundreds of thousands of other customers on the same computer, some even on the same storage drive. Making sure that data in no way leaks over to someone else it is not supposed to is both extremely important and complicated to achieve. This episode will be regarding a major buffer overflow vulnerability called CloudBleed, which leaked data from Cloudflare customers to other Cloudflare customers. But what is Cloudflare? Cloudflare is a software company that provides a variety of services such as distributed denial of service mitigation, domain registration, and content delivery networks, which is a geographically distributed network of data centers. It allows for better performance and availability. For example, if I'm located in the USA, a USA-based server will deliver the content I am requesting. But if I live in Germany, there's likely a closer server in Europe, either in or around Germany, that will deliver it instead. It was these servers that had the bug that allowed for the CloudBleed vulnerability to be exploited. Statistics vary on how many people use Cloudflare, but in a browser market share report made in August of 2023, they estimated around 16% of global internet traffic goes directly through Cloudflare. And a press release from that same year states that Cloudflare has over 182,000 paying customers. However, this does not take into account their free customers, which is estimated to be 4.1 million. My point being, Cloudflare is huge, and a vulnerability in their software or services could be potentially devastating, but in 2017, that is exactly what happened. In an archived incident report from Cloudflare dated February 23, 2017, they stated that Tavis Ormandy from Google's Project Zero, which is a team of cybersecurity experts assembled by Google to find and report zero-day vulnerabilities, alerted them of rather strange behavior. Corrupted web pages were being returned when he was trying to make basic HTTP requests, either accessing websites, entering data into them, or pulling data from them, that were run through Cloudflare. As it turns out, Cloudflare's edge servers, a server that sits between two different networks, were running past the end of a memory buffer. A buffer is a temporary storage in memory. It stores data while it is actively being moved. If that buffer is overfilled, data will have nowhere to go temporarily, which can cause a variety of different odd behaviors. In this case, it was returning parts of memory that contained private information. Ormandy laid out his discoveries in issue 1139 when replicating the CloudBleed bug. He was able to access encryption keys, session cookies, passwords, even private messages from users of multiple websites, and shockingly, HTTP requests for other Cloudflare-hosted sites from other normal internet users. He could see what people were doing on other websites. Cloudflare acted quickly when notified of the bug, turning off some minor features that were all using an HTML parser chain that resulted in the buffer overflowing and bleeding data into the wrong hands. An HTML parser is just a tool that can read HTML data, HTML being used to create a majority of websites. The purpose is to collect data and analyze or edit it for other purposes. For example, Cloudflare would use this to upgrade connections from HTTP to the secure HTTPS, or to hide parts of web pages from bots so it can't be accessed by them. But this seemingly simple fix would not solve the problem completely, because even with the root cause remediated, search engines were actually caching these buggy responses, leaving the data still publicly accessible. Cloudflare would have to collaborate with Google, as well as other search engines like Bing, DuckDuckGo, and Yahoo, to resolve this and completely wipe any traces of this data from the internet. Although remember the adage, nothing on the internet is ever truly deleted. Practically speaking, this is not necessarily true. There are simply things no one else has saved and that are gone forever. At least I hope so. But it is possible that this data was saved during the mad dash to remove it. It's currently not known if this was the case. And since it was so long ago, we probably never will know. However, this had been an issue for months, so some private data had been cached, hiding in plain sight for a long time unnoticed. That included the data of Uber, the ride-sharing app, OkCupid, a dating app, and Fitbit. All three claimed that the impact was limited, however. Uber claimed that only session tokens were impacted, which had since expired, and that a password change would not be necessary. The CEO of OkCupid also stated that there was minimal data exposed and that customers would be notified if necessary. Fitbit recommended password changes for any concerned users, but like the other two, also found the impact was pretty limited. Password manager website 1Password was also impacted. However, Jeffrey Goldman stated in a blog post on 1Password that even in the event of Cloudflare leaking data from the site, the data is encrypted an additional 2 other times, so passwords could not have been harvested from 1Password. Changing your password was really the only thing you could do in this scenario to protect yourself. Unfortunately, once that data is out there, it's out there. Financial information does not appear to have been exposed in this particular breach, thankfully, so credit monitoring would be unnecessary. Although this vulnerability and subsequent data breach was bad, it could have been far, far worse. The vulnerability was caught by the right person, who then reported it to Cloudflare, and Cloudflare responded within the same day to the vulnerability's reporting. This was before everything went public, so it's very well likely that no malicious hackers were even aware this event existed until it was already fixed. Thank you to Tavis Ormendi for initially discovering and reporting Cloudbleed and collaborating with Cloudflare to resolve it, as well as Cloudflare for being rather open about the incident. And another thanks to Gizmodo, TechCrunch, and The Register for reporting on this case as it occurred, as well as people who archive these older news reports. It really helps when I need to research something that happened more than a couple years ago. And of course, thank you for tuning into this week's history episode of Bite-Sized Cybercrime, and until next time, stay secure.